Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 25th of September, 2015, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM, underlooking the atrium of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Oaksend, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, we're back after a two-week layoff to make room for Live at Lunch, the daily concert series to help welcome students to UBC. But that's all over now. Everyone's settled in and classes are in session, although it's club day out here and the atrium is just jam-packed with all kinds of clubs trying to attract members, including CITR. Come down this way, follow the sound of my voice, check out your very own radio station. There's CDs available right in front of you there. They're a dollar each. There's all kinds of great stuff from our past, so come down and check that out. All right, that's enough of pandering to the crowd. Back to the audience. I've lost my place in the script. So now we can get back to the business of talking about local theater and what shows our friends are doing, like Drama Natrix Productions, presenting the Canadian premiere of The It Girl, a musical based on a silent movie. It could happen. And we'll talk to members of The Slamming Door about their upcoming production of Ibsen's A Dollhouse, plus a preview of a new radio documentary that we're making here at CITR about Canada in World War II, and our usual rundown of what to do and where to go this weekend. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. I spoke so long, I ran out of music almost. Okay, we're going to start with a tune. One of the fun things about doing this show is that we always get inquiries and entreaties from musicians from all over the place. And this is from a band called Octobers, and they are up in Kamloops, but they're just getting underway, and they've just got their new album released on Bandcamp, and this is a track. This is a title track from it. It's called Misfits. So once again, that's Octobers from Kamloops, and you can find them on Bandcamp, and the album is called Misfits, and that was the name of that tune as well. You're listening to Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio, and sitting across from me now are three members of Dramanatrix Productions. Please tell us your names.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Hey, I am Jared.
And I'm Nancy.
And there we go. And you are producer, actor, and director in that order of the It Girl musical, mm-hmm. which is, as I said at the top of the show, based on a silent movie. Now, God, what do I ask first? Okay, tell me a little bit about It first, the silent movie, because that was like a very famous, iconic film from the 20s. It kind of represented the flappers. It made Clara Bow a star. What have I missed?
Not much, really. The It Girl musical is based on the 1927 Paramount picture It, mm-hmm. With Clara Bow, as you said. Yeah. So our musical is a tribute to silent films, because let's face it, it wouldn't really be an interesting musical if we didn't have any dialogue in
it. Yeah. But mind you, the original film was based on a book.
Yes.
Yeah, so you do have some text to work with.
It's based, yeah. Yeah. It's actually quite fun that most of the title cards from the original movie are lines in the show.
Perfect.
So if you've seen the movie and you watch the show, it's actually really fun just to see the comparison. Mm-hmm.
So what's the story? Nancy, you're the director. What's the tale that we're telling?
You know, the story is a girl sees a guy, kind of falls for him, but the guy isn't really too interested until he sees her in another light. And then it's back and forth. Are we going to love each other? Are we not? And you have to kind of come and see if the guy gets the girl, if the girl gets the guy. And
also, it's a mystery.
There's a mystery element to it at some point, yeah.
Dramatic tension.
Yeah, exactly. And so, Jared, I'm assuming you're playing the guy? Or
yes,
yeah,
okay. I am that guy, Jonathan Waltham. Jonathan,
there you go. There we go. You just sound a little echoey there,
sure,
that's all.
Sure.
Yeah. So tell me about Jonathan.
He is, his father owns a department store, and the top of the show, he's kind of taking over, becomes the new owner, and he has a lot of pressure to kind of, you know, get the business right and to please his father. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, he falls in love with Betty.
Yeah.
And
so Betty's like a shop clerk?
Exactly. Kind of lower class. He's upper class.
Yeah.
And so there's that.
So there, yeah, there's that element too.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a Broadway show originally, wasn't it?
Off-Broadway.
Yeah.
2006.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be the Canadian premiere.
Oh,
so
exciting.
No one has ever seen it in Canada unless you saw it in New York first.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Now, and you've got kind of a unique staging of it too, because you've got what you're calling cabaret seating. So, how is that going to integrate in with the production itself?
Well, just like many musical productions, we do have a concession and bar, so we'd like to make our customers feel comfortable while we're there.
Mm-hmm.
We do have 9 cabaret tables that seat 36 people, so four each to a table. It's just an incentive to buy 4 tickets in advance, same price as the general seating, but you get to just sit at a comfier seat and in the front row, and you can maybe put your bottle of wine on that table instead.
I was involved with a show that did cabaret seating in the spring. It was School for Scandal, and how we did it was we kind of put the audience in the middle of the show. We had the tables in a ring, and then the main action was in the middle of that ring, but we had sets around the wall as well. So actors were walking through the tables and shouting over top of the patrons and that, and that kind of stuff.
Like that.
I take it that's not the direction this is going, though.
No, not quite.
So
but
I'll stop pitching a show that's not on anymore. We'll go back to yours. So it's Dramanatrix Productions. That's a new company, isn't it?
Yes.
It sort of a new thing? So tell me about that.
Dramanatrix is definitely a new company. It's what we like to say is that it is a new female partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, Yvonne, you, and myself, Stephanie Leotopoulos, we have been partners in crime for a year now. We've worked on different shows together.
Yeah.
And we kind of just we realize that sometimes one person is not strong enough. And sometimes you only see one vision as one person in charge. And we work very well together, and we have different strengths and weaknesses, and we complement each other very well. So sometimes I'll see something that Nancy didn't, or vice versa, and we'll say, you know, that doesn't really work, and we kind of can see it from the other side.
Yeah.
So we've been able to work as partners behind the scenes and really been able to put both of our two cents in. So we have four cents in this project instead of two, which is obviously more.
And you know? as a collective or as a company, does Dramanatrix, I keep making that mistake, do you have like any kind of overall vision or mission, or like what's your purpose for existing?
What we would like to do is just offer really strong roles for women. We want to empower women and offer roles that embody very strong, confident females.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're going for.
And this is a great thing to kick that off with, because as I said at the intro, this story, the original film, it got Clara Bow her start as an actor, but it was very controversial at the time because of the fact that it had an empowered, independent woman as the lead character.
Exactly. And when you see our It Girl, Katie Purich, you just are rooting for her all the way along. And, you know, watching Jared and Katie work together is just such a treat. In rehearsals, they bring me to tears. They make me laugh. It's fabulous.
All right, and Stephanie, we also wanted to mention that outside of this, you're also involved in another group, the Giggle Dam Theater.
Yes, I am lucky enough to work at the Giggle Dam Dinner Theater out in Port Coquitlam, and we perform every weekend. We do four different shows per year, including a long 6-week Christmas run that I always do with them, which I'm very fortunate. But we're pretty much a politically incorrect sketch comedy troupe that ends up kicking butt later on, and we sing live music, live band, live songs, and it's just a great place to bring your family, your friends, your parties, your birthdays, all that jazz.
So I guess things are how are things out there now with the election going on? Are you involved with covering that at all?
Not really. Well, I know that the mayor out there likes us because he had his party at the Giggle Dam.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it's always good to have the mayor on your side.
City Hall loves us. That's all we really know. But okay.
All right. Well, let's let people know where and when. The It Girl musical is at Studio 1398 on Granville Island.
Yes.
And it starts on the 1st, which is Thursday, isn't it?
October 1st is our preview. We open October 2nd.
Okay.
And we run through the 17th, October 17th. And we have some great nights. We have an industry night. So if you're in the theater and, you know, you're usually working throughout the week and you can't see other shows, come on that Monday night. We also have a couple matinees in there over Thanksgiving weekend. So come on out with your family. It's a family-friendly show, which is great. And we also have a drag night, which we're extremely excited to be able to have Iona Whip as our hostess that night. And so come dressed as your favorite It Girl or It Boy, and, you know, you could win a photo shoot for a boudoir photo shoot.
Wow. Which night is that going to be?
That is October 14th.
Wow.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
And we got it
covered.
If you want more information, there's a Facebook page. You can go to dramanatrix.com. Dramanatrix Productions.com.
Yep.
Or you can get the tickets at Brown Paper Tickets.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Perfect.
Nancy, Jared, Stephanie, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Dave.
I hope you have a great run.
Thanks.
Okay. Now, bit of a sad moment here. One of Vancouver's favorite rockabilly and rock and roll artists died all too soon. He had a sudden asthma attack, which led to a heart attack, which led to his untimely passing last week. The great Howard Ricks has left us. And he got probably best known back in the late 80s, early 90s with a group called the Scramblers. So let's hear from him right now.
I walk alone through your town and I watch you as you walk by. I've got a cigarette and a memory. Anything else that I can get for free? I got a room with a view. Right, I wait for another night. And another night is coming round again. I never wonder where the last one went. Yeah, I'm a solitaire man. It's the same old grind, but you're a solitary man. You're a solitary for free. I'm a solitary man. You're my solitary man. You're my solitary man.
In a heartbeat, as you are on fire.
Oh, look, my phone is ringing. I'll just save that for later. That was a great Howard Ricks with the Scramblers there in Solitary Man. You're listening to Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio, CITR 101.9 FM, or online at CITR.ca. In fact, check out our new brand spanking new website, digital platform, CITR.ca. We've just launched a whole new look, and it makes things a lot easier. If you want to, if you heard a band or a theater group or anybody that's that you're interested in, and you want to know more about them, there are links to their Bandcamp page, their previous appearances, their articles in Discorder, any music that's being reviewed on Discorder or on CITR, all that stuff links up to you. So it's a great interactive service now for you at CITR.ca. All right, we're going to take a quick break now, and then we're going to come back. Actually, you know what? I'm going to play this for you first. In November, we're going to be running a radio documentary all about Canadian service during World War II. It's based on a book called Six War Years by Barry Broadfoot. He was a journalist who, in the early 70s, went around and interviewed a lot of people who were either soldiers or either in combat or in support services. He talked to family members of servicemen, women who worked in traditionally male industries, factory workers, that kind of thing, people that were kids at the time, what it was like to be down there, sort of just a whole overall sense of what the experience was like being a Canadian from 1939 to 1945. And so we got a little taste of it right now. It's going to run on Wednesday, the 11th of November, early in the morning. We're going to start it. It's got about a 90-minute show. We're going to start at 6:30 till 8 o'clock. And then it'll be available online as well. So this is one sample of one of the stories that we're going to tell. And this is all about what it was like to be a teenager in Victoria the day the war ended.
I'll never forget VE Day. It was the most vivid thing. We were in stuffy old Victoria. We were just kids. We wore skirts and sweaters and bobby socks. Just kids. The whole place went crazy. You wouldn't believe it. We heard about it, and everybody in our school cut classes. Even the teachers cut classes. And it was just kissing and hugging and screaming, bands and parades and people just going up and down the streets, just absolutely mad. There was no such thing as time or not knowing somebody. You hugged everybody you met and sang at the top of your lungs. There were sailors and soldiers with bottles of rum and men from the shipyards with cases of beer, and just everybody was drinking everywhere, and fellows climbing lampposts and going through the downtown streets singing and laughing. Nobody was throwing things or breaking anything, and the police just stood by and let people have a good time. And they had the band playing Roll Out the Barrel and other war songs, and this must have gone on for hours, but nobody got tired, not that I know of. And people were singing and shouting as loud as when the first whistles blew until it got dark that night. My girlfriends and me, we were about 13 or 14, and I don't really think we knew there was a war on, except for the blackout curtains, and because we didn't have the kinds of clothes we wanted. And some of our older brothers had gone to the war. But we just went crazy as anybody that day and got kind of hysterical and whooped it up as if we'd just won the war by ourselves.
The Vancouver International Film Festival will once again welcome some of the world's finest films to one of the most beautiful cities on the planet. From September 24th to October 9th, the 34th annual VIFF will present over 300 films from 70 countries to 9 Vancouver screens. Visit the Vancouver International Film Festival online at viff.org.
Everything changed. Everything changed. I knew this day would come.
Thunderstorms. See the lightning flashing, thunderstorm.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
Are you a current UBC grad student? If so, then listen up, because the Graduate Student Society lets UBC grads book rooms and spaces in the newly renovated grad student building. Be sure to take advantage of what the facility has to offer. The rooms come equipped with sound systems and can host up to 300 people. Even better, as grad students, you don't have to pay booking fees. Not a grad? Don't worry. The Tia Corner House is open to the public, as in the Corner Pub, opening earlier next year. For more information, contact booking manager Rob at bookings@gss.ubc.ca.
Here's some music from Friends of Dave Radio. They played at the Fringe Club last week, too. This is Wooden Horseman.
Put your hand on your good old book, baby. Lay down the secrets.
That's Jordan Clausen and a composition from a show that was at the Fringe last week called Shake the Sheets by Matt Gordon. And that music is available on Bandcamp as well. So just look up Jordan Clausen and you can find that on there. That was a pretty good show. Let's see. Let's take a look now and see what's going on as far as auditions. This is the Dave Radio Call Board. We feature auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for all roles. So if you want it, go out and get it. Here's a perfect example. United Players of Vancouver are doing a play by Alan Bennett called People, directed by Adam Henderson, a good friend of the show and a good friend of CITR. He used to do a weekly show here called End of the World News, but Adam is also an accomplished actor and director, and he's leading the charge on this play at the United Players. It's a kind of a social political satire called People, and he's still looking for one actor. He needs a man anywhere between 25 and 60 years old who can handle an English accent in an articulate and intelligent way. So if that's a part you're interested in, and I read the script, I really want to play the part myself. I just don't have time for it. So let's give Adam a call. His number is 778-883-2241, or contact United Players of Vancouver. Langley Players is doing Enchanted April by Matthew Barber, and their auditions are coming up in a few days, September 27th and 28th. What's that, Sunday and Monday? And that's in the Langley Playhouse. That production will run in January and February. Then we've got Fort Theatre Society. I forgot Nancy, who was here earlier. She's directing that. I forgot to ask her about that. It's going to be the Burnaby Village Museum at the end of November, beginning of December. And it's called Sherlock Holmes Christmas Goose. And it's written by Arthur Conan Doyle. It's actually written by the creator of Sherlock Holmes. And it's kind of a Christmas story for kids and all family members. And so, as I said, Nancy Vanyo is going to be directing it. And that's at the Bonser Community Center. Auditions are on October 7th. Royal City Musical Theatre doing Fiddler on the Roof this year, and that's directed by Val Easton, musical director James Bryson. That'll be happening in April, and their auditions are coming up early next week, Monday and Tuesday, at the Massey Theatre in New Westminster. Two Fly Productions doing Little Miss Glitz, an original jukebox musical parody of child beauty pageants, directed and choreographed by Don Ewan, and that is going to be at the Pal Theater in March. Their auditions are also coming up Sunday and Monday, and they're looking for adults who are able to play kids. Basically, it's about these little miracle beauty pageants, but they want 9 women and 3 men to play the part of little kids. So give it a shot; could be fun. Alchemy Theater is doing Agnes of God at the Pal Theater in November. Their auditions are September 29th and 30th at Carousel Theater. And who is it? Theater North Van is doing 39 Steps, a mystery, comic mystery, adapted by Patrick Barlow. That'll be on in February at Hendry Hall in North Vancouver. And their auditions are also this weekend auditions in October. So you got lots of time to prepare for that. And then also auditioning in October, Vagabond Players doing Inspector Carroll by Daniel Sullivan. So keep your ears tuned for that. And one last thing, Art Shop Productions and Beauty Shop Dolls doing Sing, a historical journey through music for audiences ages 5 to 12. They're looking for one male performer and one female performer in your early to late 20s who are able to play an instrument. You've got some kind of musical theater background. At least you can sing and act enthusiastic about performing in front of kids. If you want details on these or other audition notices, you go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at VPL.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page or email it, DaveRadioPodcast@Hotmail.com. Our guests have arrived, so we'll be hearing about A Doll's House after we hear this. That's Altona, a new release, and a song called Favorite Books. And let's see, we got to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about A Doll's House, so stay tuned.
There's still time to apply to Shindig 2015. Compete in CITR's very own Battle of the Bands. Be a part of Shindig history and join past contestants like Japandroids, Bond of Tigers, the Pac-AD, Mystery Machine, and the Organ. Win studio time and track mastering, showcases at North by Northeast, Canadian Music Week, and Music Waste, and much more. All genres welcome. All we need is a three-song demo and your contact info. Please email all submissions to shindig.submissions@gmail.com by midnight on Monday, September 28th. Be a part of Shindig 31.
Tune in every other Sunday from 3 to 4 p.m. for Blood on the Saddle with your host, Dan N., the real, authentic country.
Beppy Chris Band presents... Difficult music, harsh electronics, spoken word, cut up / collage, and a general Chris Band weirdness. Sunday, 7 to 9 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
All right, enough chatter. We're back on, and we have a couple of guests. We have Ashley O'Connell and Karina Akison. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
And you guys are involved with new production of Ibsen's A Doll House down at the soon-to-be at the Jericho Art Center. So let's talk a little bit about that. Now, for those who didn't take literature in high school or read any English in university, Dollhouse is probably Ibsen's most famous play, maybe alongside Hedda Gabler. But but it's one of those plays that's sort of revered as a classic, and it keeps coming back. And what is it about it that that kind of draws people to it, and that actors and theater companies want to keep presenting it?
Well, I think it's the feminism in it stays relevant because it's like a lot of Ibsen's writing. There's this amazing feminist streak in it. Women are making decisions all the time that society would think would not be the right way for a woman to behave, and women do, you know, things that they wouldn't have done back then, and even now make choices that go against what society would say. You know, you should be behaving like this, and they're actively making decisions, like in our production, in this one, Nora, right? She's actively making choices that are entirely for herself and her own self-discovery, which at the time that the piece was written...
Which was about 100 years ago? When exactly was it written?
1896.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah, 1890s around there. So, yeah, that was just as... sort of that first wave of feminism was coming into strength with the suffrage movement and women sort of, you know, starting to claim power for the first time. And so would you say that Ibsen's work kind of helped to influence that, or was it part of that, or?
I would imagine it would be influential, again, it seemed more on. It seems like it's a little bit more on a less of. I don't know. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Yes.
Good. That's all. Let's move on then. Yes. Let's move on then. So, what is the story of the play? Anyway, what's the plot? What's going on there? What?
Well, essentially, you have a woman who's apparently married in middle class bliss to her middle-class husband, who's just received a promotion and has ensured that the family now has, for the foreseeable future, financial security. So she's very happy about that. And that's apparently all you see. Yeah. And a visitor comes into the play, played by Karina, Mrs. Linden, sort of a woman out of the past who's looking for assistance. And as far as you can tell, the first, I suppose, rumblings that there might be an issue is that Nora, who's the wife, the happy wife, happy middle-class wife, admits to this new visitor that in the past she borrowed money from another party when her husband was ill, when there were harder times, right? But she has kept this from her husband. And so that's the first secret that's revealed. And these secrets start to build up. We find more and more secrets throughout the passage of the play. I don't want to give too much away for those who haven't actually seen or read the play. Yeah. But eventually this kind of domestic facade Which is, I suppose, Ibsen's point is that all these facades are built on kind of a tissue of lies to a certain extent.
Yeah.
That they unravel one at a time until eventually all that's left is kind of the truth. And as soon as you embrace the truth, whatever that may be, however uncomfortable and unpalatable it may be, you're kind of set free by it. And all the characters in the play, one way or another, are set free by the revelations at the end of the play. And for better or for worse, some people don't want them to be revealed. It kind of wrecks their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And for other people, when these truths are revealed, it sets them on a new path. And that's
essentially
the play.
It's really sort of a statement about how we are, we as ourselves are capable of embracing change and adapting and
exactly
and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know which character Karina's playing. Who are you playing, Ashley?
I'm playing Krog's dad. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of a. I suppose I'm one of the main generators in the play of dramatic conflict and tension. I kind of am a spanner in the works, fly in the ointment, and I kind of jump into the middle of this domestic bliss and I ruin everything, apparently, by bringing up terrible secrets from Nora's past. And I have my own issues to resolve, too.
Yeah.
And I'm apparently, initially right off the bat, those who see Krogstad, I'm sure the initial reaction will be, he's a sinister bad guy, and I don't want you to put anybody off that notion. That's fine.
No, that's fine.
He's a horrible sinister bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really like the whole theme of all these characters looking for their sort of own personal salvation, but the way that they go about it and what sort of frees them is different for each person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got a really strong company putting this together, too. Mm-hmm. You've got Tamara McCarthy directing it.
That's right.
And then you two, as well as, I know, Seabass Croon is in the cast. Mm-hmm. And who else?
Genevieve
is it?
Fleming.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Is our lovely Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jacob Pelagia is our Torvald Helmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we have Laura J.
Yeah.
Who's playing a selection of smaller parts very capably, I might add.
Oh, yeah. She's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
And then we've got some little ones.
And some
we've got some kids.
Yes.
How's that been?
It's been grand.
Yeah.
They've been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful.
In fact, we've got two rotations of kids, two teams, each of three kids. And they certainly bring a new energy to the room. And they're great kids.
I know. I've done plays where it was the 12-year-old who was the most professional actor in the company. So.
Well, we didn't want to say, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm riddled with jealousy about the kids perform.
I'm not going to say either. I just
they're schooling us constantly. You know, maybe you should try crying in that spot.
Yeah.
You know.
Totally.
Kids.
Yeah.
So it's at the Jericho Arts Center. It's starting soon.
It's starting October the 6th is the first preview.
Yeah, 6th and 7th open officially on the 8th and run through to the 24th.
We run Tuesday to Sunday every week until the 24th of October.
Right.
There are several matinees scattered about in there. And
it's sort of Saturday and Sunday for the matinees, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple of week matinees as well,
and
we've added an extra one as well.
Right.
So yeah.
All right. So all that information is on the Facebook page.
It is indeed.
The Slamming Door.
Slamming Door Collective. That's right.
Yes. Yep.
And make sure you get out to the show. And ticket prices are extremely reasonable. And if you come out in large groups, we are willing to negotiate and bring the price down even further.
Oh.
So, yes. Yeah, so if you do want to come, and if any professor or student is listening to this, get your friends together. Email slammingdoorcollective@gmail.com or look at the Facebook page. Get in touch with us, and we will bring the price down even further.
Oh, wonderful. And we've also got a link on the Dave Radio Facebook page, too. So
wonderful.
It's easy peasy to find. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Have a great run.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
We'll see you there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there. All right.
Watch for the smoke. Looks like my timber line.
fade in the silence of the roar. Peel off them cataracts on your sight before. Looks like black timber.
So just as they were about to leave, Ashley remembered he forgot to talk about something. So what was it, Ashley?
Yes. So just to let anyone out there who is interested in either being a professional actor or who is already a professional actor, a great opportunity has come up. Myself and a producing partner of mine named Julie Trepanier have gotten a grant from the Canadian government to start a, or to have, or to host a very large workshop at Presentation House Theatre in North Vancouver. It'll run from the October the 28th to Sunday, November the 1st. It'll run approximately 10 to 5 every day. And we are bringing over internationally renowned theatre artist Jason Byrne from Dublin, Ireland, who is the head of Loose Cannon Theatre Company, who directed an astonishing production of The Cherry Orchard at the Shaw Festival. He's also directed for Company Theatre in Toronto. Again, all critically very well acclaimed, excellent shows, excellent director, and he's very famous for running workshops. And we are bringing him over to run a workshop for 5 days, as I said, October 28th to November 1st at Presentation House Theatre. The workshop does cost, it's $400, but that's only $80 a day, and we are willing to negotiate that for, we have reductions, equity reductions, etc. Yeah. But it's a fantastic opportunity to participate in a workshop with an excellent and very famous professional director who will, we hope, work regularly in the West Coast, which he has never visited before. And if you are interested, please contact me, Ashley O'Connell, at ashoconnell@gmail.com. That's all one word, lowercase, A-S-H-O-C-O-N-N-E-L-L @gmail.com. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. we'll put a link on the Dave Radio page too. Yeah, I'm glad we remembered it before you left.
Yes, me too.
Through my head, these feelings of regret, dreams slipping through my hands, so I'm turning around. Gotta put it to an end, please tell me if my heart beats, selling out my heart's deepest feelings again. Never again. I gave up on my love of music, cause I just couldn't cope with how it felt to be defeated after being so close. I had to pay the rent, and so I gave up my goals. I had to be a man, at least I told myself so. I gave it up, got my hair cut, and found myself in a coat. I buttoned up and stared into the mirror and laughed, then I choked. These birds are meant to sing, and men are made to be broke. But pain is meant to sting, and now it's given me hope. Selling out.
keeps running through my head. These feelings of regret, dreams slipping through my hands, so I'm turning around. Gotta put it to an end. Please tell me if my heart beats, selling out my heart's deepest feelings again.
Taking everything, I'm giving everything. I've given everything, everything, everything.
Keeps running through my head, these feelings of regret, dreams slipping through my hands, so I'm turning around. Gotta put it to an end, please tell me if my heart beats, selling out my heart's deepest feelings again. Keeps running through my head, these feelings of regret, dreams slipping through my hands, so I'm turning around.
Well, that's our show. Thanks again for spending your lunch hour with us. Our special shout out this week goes to Evan, Scott, and Brent, the best tech guys, the most brilliant tech guys. They're the greatest. And they have taken all your generous donations from our fun drive last spring and created a fantastic new website for CITR, Discorder, and all the rest of the stuff we do here at Thunderbird Radio. Check out CITR.ca and see what I'm talking about. Remember, if you have a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Email us at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com or share it on our Facebook page. If you missed this or any of our programs, or you just want to hear it again, go to that great new website, CITR.ca, and look under Shows and Podcasts in the Programming tab. Eleanor and Erica are up next with Femme Concept, and don't forget Napkin Boy, 3:30 this afternoon, Nardwar, the Human Serviette, presents. Dave Radio will return next Friday at this same time. Bye-bye. Thank you.